Hey there, sports history fans. Arnie Chapman of Fantasy Football Origin Stories here to tell you about a new way to play fantasy football this upcoming season. Tailgate Fantasy Sports is the game you've been waiting for. It's a new type of fantasy football that's totally free and easy to play. Just sign up with your email, pick your favorite NFL team, and set a three-man lineup using only players from that team. Rotate two players each week and add power-ups to boost your players' scores. The best part? One random power-up drops every week. Now, it's not going to replace your existing leagues. In fact, it might be the way to get some of your favorite players on your home team. Because we all know how hard it is to get your hometown team's players in your home league, right? That is, if you truly follow some semblance of an ADP. I mean, come on. You think I'm getting Amon-Ra the Sun God at market value in my home league? Pick number 7? You gotta be kidding me, dude. Get all the rules over at tailgatefantasysports.com. But the real action happens at tailgatefantasy.io. Tailgate Fantasy Sports, where true fans rule the game. Join now and help us put the word fan back into fantasy football.
Former Texas A&M quarterback Johnny Manziel once said, "The Heisman attention has definitely been a little bit of a surprise. It's been out of my hands. It's something I'm not focused on. I'm focused on the season and trying to win as many games as possible." We'll speak about Manziel and the longest dropkick in NFL history that helped secure a championship, the player that turned down playing for George Halas, and the youngest player ever to win the Heisman. It's all coming up in just a moment. Your football history headlines, December 10th. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and boy, have we got a podcast for you to do. Just like our opening tease, we told you about a lot of different topics that can be discussed for this December 10th football history headlines, and we've got some really interesting stories, and I don't want to delay it anymore. Let's get right into the action, and we'll start off on December 10th, 1922. Pete Henry didn't look like the prototypical gridiron player. He was 5'11" and weighed 240 pounds, according to the Pro Football Hall of Fame's website. His teammates called him Fats, but opponents should never have doubted the threat that he was on the football field. It was on this day, December 10th, as a member of the Canton Bulldogs, that Pete Henry allegedly made the longest known NFL drop-kicked field goal when he nailed it from 45 yards, as documented on the American Football Database, against the Toledo Maroons in a 19-0 Bulldog victory that gave the undefeated Canton Bulldogs the title of the league's inaugural champions. December 10th, 1938. At the Grey Cup, it was a repeat of the previous season, as the Toronto Argonauts walloped the Winnipeg Blue Bombers 30-7 to keep the Canadian title. December 10, 1939, in West Allis, Wisconsin, the Dairy Bowl was played. The National Football League's championship game in 1939 pitted the Green Bay Packers against the New York Football Giants. The Pack took home their fifth title as they blanked the Giants 27-0, according to Packers History Net. Next, we'll go to 1940 on December 10th. The Chicago Bears used the number one pick in the 1941 NFL Draft to select Tom Harmon from the University of Michigan. Harmon had just won the Heisman Trophy, as well as the Maxwell Award, according to IMDb.com. Harmon turned down George Halas and the Bears, though, as he accepted an offer from the upstart American Football League's New York Americans. After that version of the AFL folded the next season, Tom became a fighter pilot in the U.S. Army Air Corps and fought in World War II for 4 years. In 1946, he returned and played in the NFL for the L.A. Rams for 3 seasons. December 10th, 1961, in the AFL, the Houston Oilers' great rusher Billy Cannon set a single-game all-purpose yards record of 373 yards against the New York Titans. The Houston Chronicle shares a great video of the event with more details, and you can see a link to that on our pigskindispatch.com website in the article for December 10th. December 10th, 1983, at Shea Stadium, the home of the New York Jets for more than 20 seasons, it had its last NFL game played as the Pittsburgh Steelers defeated the Jets 34-7, according to a great Newsday article with more details, and we have a link to that on our site. December 10th, 1994, the 60th Heisman Trophy Award went to Rashawn Salaam of the University of Colorado, who played the position of running back. The Heisman's official webpage tells us that Rashad was the first player from Colorado to win the award, and he became the third finalist in history of the trophy to surpass the 2,000 yards in rushing mark in a season for Division I. Salaam totaled 2,055 yards on the season with 24 scores and a remarkable 7.61 rushing average to lead the Buffs to a fourth-place ranking in the polls that season. December 10, 2001. Eric Crouch, the option quarterback from Nebraska, won the 67th Heisman Trophy Award. Eric was a dual threat in 2001 season as he rushed for 1,115 yards and 18 scores on the ground while passing for 1,510 yards, according to Heisman.com. In addition to the Heisman, Crouch also took home the Davey O'Brien Quarterback Award and the Walter Camp Player of the Year Award. December 10, 2005, the 71st Heisman Trophy Award was given to USC standout runner Reggie Bush. However, if you look at the Heisman's website, you will not see an entry winner for 2005. That's because Bush later forfeited his trophy due to what ESPN.com describes as him and other Trojan athletes receiving improper benefits that violated NCAA rules. Now let's take a break from our football history headlines for just a moment. Focus in on that subscribe button on the Embed Player. Click it so you get all the podcasts released right to you as soon as we release them. Also, you can reach us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Right now, I've got a message from one of my friends at the Sports History Network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
December 10th, 2012, the 78th Heisman Trophy went to the first freshman to ever win the award when quarterback Johnny Manziel of Texas A&M was chosen to receive the coveted honor in just his redshirt season with the Aggies. It's interesting to note that on Manziel's bio on Heisman.com, it states that he originally committed to play at Oregon out of high school and signing about the same time as the 2014 Heisman winner Marcus Mariota. Johnny decided to go to Texas A&M instead, probably because of the competition with Mariota, but Johnny Football tossed 24 TDs on 3,419 yards passing while using his legs for another 1,181 yards and 19 scores. The game that really set the table for Manziel's Heisman votes was most likely when he led A&M to a 29-24 upset of the top-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide in Tuscaloosa, where he tallied 345 yards of total offense and performed some really dazzling plays. Okay, we just told you a moment ago that Johnny Manziel was the first freshman and only freshman to win the Heisman, but now, on December 10th, 2016, we had the youngest player to win a Heisman Trophy, and it did it at just the age of 19 in the 82nd edition of the trophy. Lamar Jackson, the uniquely talented option quarterback of the Louisville Cardinals, was given the trophy per Heisman.com. Jameis Winston of Florida State was 5 days older than Jackson when he took home the hardware in 2013. Lamar's 4,928 yards of total offense was second in Heisman history, only to Ty Detmer's 5,022 yards in the 1990 season. Jackson was the first player from Louisville to receive the honor, and he was only the fourth sophomore ever to win it in the trophy's history. All right, we're here at last, the time to celebrate the birthdays of Hall of Famers for this December 10th, and we're going to start off in Tunica, Mississippi in the year 1916. Ole Miss halfback Linus Parker Hall was born, but he made better well known as Bullet Hall. The NFF's bio states that Hall had an incredible 1938 season where he led the nation in all-purpose yards and scoring while being named by the UPI and AP as an All-America player. His 11 touchdowns and 7 extra points chalked him up for a total of 73 points, and his all-purpose yards season stood at 1,558. Bullitt was also the nation's leader in rushing average, kick return average, and had the most interceptions and total accountable touchdowns made with 11 rushing, and he had 11 more where he passed the ball. The National Football Foundation selected Bullitt Hall to enter into their College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1991. December 10, 1933, Decatur, Georgia, Larry Morris, the great Georgia Tech center and linebacker, was born. Larry excelled at more than just two positions on the gridiron, and he not only led and captained the Ramblin' Wreck football team, but he also was the captain of the Yellow Jackets baseball team, as well as lettering in that sport, too. The footballfoundation.org website states that on the gridiron, he was all-conference player, as well as being an All-America team member in 1953. The National Football Foundation selected Larry Morris to enter into their College Football Hall of Fame in 1992. Larry went on to the NFL ranks after college, and he played for the Rams, the Bears, and Falcons during his 12-year NFL career. We'd like to end the podcast today with a big thank you to all of you, our listeners out there throughout the world, not just the United States, but around the world on most of the continents, listening on a daily basis. And we're proud to be a part of that and humbled that football history is spreading throughout the world and done so on this podcast and some of the other ones here on the Sports History Network. We'd like to make sure you don't miss tomorrow's show, because tomorrow we're going to talk about a couple of Seminoles that were handed the Heisman Trophy. The final AFC Championship game was played, and 6 touchdowns are thrown by a quarterback in Chicago. To make sure you get notified the second the next edition of this podcast is released, please put your mouse cursor over that subscribe button on your podcast player and crush it like an offensive tackle hitting a DB. You can also find all of the episodes at your favorite podcast provider, at pigskindispatch.com or thesportshistorynetwork.com, where you'll also find many other great nostalgic sports stories and interviews and podcasts with an all-star cast of podcast hosts and guests that share some of the history's greatest sporting events. And we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks. We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's 4th and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Each week, the official Football Learning Academy podcast will take you deep into the history of pro football through interviews with players, coaches, or administrators in the NFL, as well as interviews with Pro Football Hall of Fame selectors, authors, and historians. You'll learn how the game evolved and important moments that shaped the sport into what it is today. And don't miss the Pro Football History Nugget of the Week. Listen to the official Football Learning Academy podcast on the Sports History Network.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.